From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. Later tonight, droughts and HAARP. Millions of trees, by the way, dying in California due to this drought. We'll talk all about that. Here's what's happening. The Texas governor, Greg Abbott, is coming under increasing criticism for ordering the Texas State Guard to monitor federal military exercises. Now, these exercises drew concerns that the government could implement martial law or confiscate citizens' guns. The former Texas Governor Rick Perry, the Pentagon, and the White House have suggested the concerns in Mr. Abbott's request were unfounded. The exercises are called Jade Helm. You've heard us talk about it. Set to begin in July in seven states. Texas and six other states are hosting the war simulations, which will last 3 months and take place on public and private land. The Army said that the topography and terrain of these selected areas are ideal for training because they mimic foreign combat zones. People a little concerned that something else is afoot. We're going to keep watching that story. Boxer Manny Pacquiao has been sued in a U.S. court by two people who said they paid to watch him fight Floyd Mayweather Jr. in the fight of the century, but felt defrauded by Pacquiao's alleged failure to disclose a pre-bout shoulder injury. Apparently, he had a torn rotator cuff. The lawsuit was filed by Stefan Vanel and Cammy Rabarin in federal court in Nevada. It seeks compensation under laws meant to protect consumers and asks for status as a class action on behalf of ticket buyers, pay-per-view television viewers, and people who gambled on the fight. This is going to be an incredibly huge story. Millions of dollars spent on these fights. Millions of dollars on this fight. And apparently Pacquiao had a torn rotator cuff. He really couldn't swing. He couldn't punch. Something's going to happen there. The largest ever U.S. outbreak of avian flu, which has devastated the Midwestern poultry and egg producers in recent weeks, could be felt at Thanksgiving tables across the nation come November. The H5N2 strain has already spread to 14 states and led to the deaths or scheduled euthanasias of more than 21 million birds, including 3.5 million turkeys in Minnesota. Now, that's the nation's top turkey producer. Let's check in with Dr. Gary Ridenour. Gary, first and foremost, this is devastating the poultry population, isn't it?
It is, and there are five variations of the avian flu that have appeared, including a new one called H7N9.
Jeez.
Iowa already has 20 million sick birds that they're going to have to put down. There's at least 20 states already that are infected with it, and according to the numbers, H5N1 has already killed 89 people in the world, sickened 89 and killed 26. Another form of the virus has sickened 200 people in the world, and Minnesota has called the National Guard out to help them put down 16 million more chickens.
We raised 240 million turkeys last year, and one in five of those came from Minnesota farms. So right. There's going to be a huge problem come Thanksgiving, Gary, isn't there?
It is, and the question is that this is the greatest outbreak we've ever had, and is this bioterrorism? Is somebody trying food supply and our monetary system?
If you eat a bird that has this flu, let's say it just gets through the system, can you get sick if you've still cooked that bird the way you should cook it?
No, a cooked bird would be fine, and they're being very, very specific about any bird that looks funny is going over to the group that's going to be euthanized. There's going to be 100 million, poultry that are going to be euthanized.
Have you ever heard of anything like this before?
This has never been reported like this before. Egypt has 143 human cases of bird flu, and there are so many so much poultry out there being infected that it scares you that there may be a mutation and we will end up with a pandemic.
Well, price of turkey is going to go up for Thanksgiving, I bet you, huh?
If you can find a turkey. Yeah. I don't even know if you're going to be able to find a turkey by Thanksgiving.
Huh? All right, Gary, thank you so much. Dr. Gary Ridenour. Police say a University of South Carolina student has been arrested after her roommate set up a camera and caught her spitting and putting window cleaner in their food. Investigators told media outlets that the roommate set up a camera because they had several arguments with her and she refused to leave the off-campus apartment. Police say the camera caught her taking several containers of food out of a refrigerator and spitting or spraying window cleaner into them. Authorities say one of the roommates ate out of one of the containers before seeing the video. The roommate reportedly believed the food had been tainted. She is charged with unlawful, malicious tampering with human drug product or food. The report said she was charged with unlawful, malicious tampering. She could get up to 20 years in prison for that. A Louisville, Kentucky pizzeria delivery guy who was carjacked, robbed, stabbed, still managed to make his delivery, which happened to be at a local emergency room, which is where he was headed anyway. The 19-year-old, his name's Josh Lewis, he's in stable condition, recovering from a collapsed lung at the University of Louisville Hospital. Police say he was delivering a pizza to the local emergency room when a man stabbed him in the back, robbed him, stole his black Jeep Cherokee, and took off. Man, he was lucky he was there. For the first time in five decades, at least four companies have received U.S. government approval to ferry passengers back and forth between Florida and Cuba. All four companies notified of the approvals by the U.S. Treasury and Commerce Departments first since the U.S. imposed trade embargo years ago on Cuba. A story we have in the news at coasttocoastam.com. Italian police are revealing what Jesus looked like as a young boy. Go take a look at those pictures. They're really cool. The Italian detectives took the picture of the Shroud of Turin, and based on computer forensics, they were able to backtrack the picture, and they've got a young Jesus. They reduced the size of his jaw, they raised his chin, and they straightened out his nose. But there he is. A coronal mass ejection is heading our way, should hit tomorrow. 45% chance of a minor geomagnetic storm, so it's not that big. And we're also getting some meteors from Halley's Comet. Let's check in with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Stephen, what's going on up there?
Great things in the sky, and of course, the May skies offer a rich harvest of objects to see. But we start off, George, in the northwest, just after sunset for the listening audience. You get a rare opportunity, folks, to see the planet Mercury. It's about 20 degrees high into the northwest. This is the same planet, of course, that the Messenger spacecraft was intentionally crashed into. And George, if you follow the planet Mercury in the sky, you'll continue up to the left, you'll see brilliant Venus. Continue to that arc again, moving to the left, there's Jupiter. And now we come into this beautiful object that we're going to talk about now, the planet Saturn. So George, for the people that are listening right now, if you take a look at the moon, the object that's about 10 degrees to the right of the moon is the planet Saturn. And it's the big planet of the month of May. It comes to opposition on the 23rd. Right now, it's about 74 light minutes away from your eye. This is a good one, George, to have everybody go out with their small telescopes because Saturn will be closest in about 8 years. But as you mentioned at the beginning of this segment, we're going through another meteor shower, George. It's called the Eta Aquarid meteor shower. All this debris is from that most famous of comets, Comet Halley. And if you're patient, even though moonlight might interfere, the best times to look, George, probably from 2 a.m. to sunrise. Imagine that, George. If you get to see even one of these, you're seeing debris from one of the most famous of all comets, Comet Halley, which won't be back here till the year 2061. Updates at drsky.com and always our aviation site, photorecon.net. Thank you so much.
You make looking at the sky fun.
Well, thanks, George. Always appreciate it and appreciate the emails, the many of those emails from the great listeners of Coast to Coast. Thank you.
This is an amazing story now breaking. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks, and today was the day. You can go up to our website and take a look at least one of the pictures. As soon as we get others, we'll have Lex post them for you, coasttocoastam.com. 7,000 people hit the National Auditorium in Mexico City tonight. Why? Because they were looking at photographs that apparently claimed to show the remains of an alien found dead by U.S. authorities near Roswell, New Mexico.
Headline edition, July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army. Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
So what was it? What is this picture? Slides, old slides, on Kodak slide film. 7,000 people jamming the auditorium to see. In a moment, we will be talking about this incredible story on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. There's an amazing story. It is breaking in Mexico right now. Jaime Masson was able to put together a group of people, some of the biggest people in ufology, to take a look at what apparently were slides taken during the Roswell crash of 1947. There were several slides. We've got one of them now. If you want to get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, do so if you would. We're trying to get a couple more of these slides. They're called the Roswell slides. They were taken in 1947. You look at them. You tell me what you think. The one that we've got up there has a figure of looks like a decomposed or some kind of extraterrestrial that, you know, looks like he was involved in some kind of flaming crash or something. But it is very, very strange. One of those in attendance was Richard Dolan, our expert on ufology. And Richard was there with 7,000 people. And Richard, we've got one of the photos posted at coasttocoastam.com, which shows something on some kind of a medical device. But welcome. I know you're in Mexico right now. It's been one of those days. Give us an overview, Richard, on what everyone saw.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on. And I actually literally ran to my hotel room to get here on time. Everything ended just a little bit late. So I'm glad to be able to be here. Yes, so this was an event organized by Jaime Masson here in Mexico of the so-called Roswell slides. There's been a great deal of controversy that has been developing about them over the past couple of years once information about them leaked out. So these slides have a long history. I mean, they apparently were owned by a couple back in the 1940s named Hilda and Bernard Ray. Very interesting people. Mm-hmm. Essentially what happened is upon Hilda's death in 1988, she had about 400, I believe, Kodachrome slides that were in her possession, which 10 years later were acquired in a yard sale or trash pickup type of a sale. The slides had gone to some other home nearby, and we're not really sure of the connection there. The woman who acquired them, though, realized that these were interesting slides. They had fancy pictures of aircraft. They had lots of golf pictures of Bob Hope and Sam Snead, the young Sam Snead. There are pictures of Dwight Eisenhower at lectures. And, I mean, so obviously these were very interesting slides. A couple of years later, two other slides were found, seemingly tucked away in a part of the of this box.
Gosh, that, amazing, that, Richard. Story, isn't it?
Yeah, this is incredible stuff. And so these two slides were what looked like an alien body under glass. That's, I mean, you know, if you look at it, that's what it seems to be.
Why does it look decomposed to me?
It looks, it's either decomposed or autopsied to some extent. It's obviously very degraded.
Yeah.
There were a couple of forensic analyses that were presented tonight about it. I think very qualified, technically proficient academicians from here in Mexico, an individual from Canada had a Skype where he contributed, and some of the people believe that it was in formaldehyde to prevent decomposition to some extent. I'm not really qualified to say one way or the other, but that's their conclusion on that. So it's fascinating.
What does your gut tell you, Richard? I mean, you have looked at more UFO cases than just about any living human other than Stanton Friedman right now. What was your gut telling you when you were there at that conference? 7,000 people. Tell me.
My, you know, Hyman Lausanne asked me to attend this during a live interview a couple of months ago. I felt like, I said this at the audience, it felt like I was being proposed to in the crowded restaurant with everyone watching. I
didn't, you had to accept. Take the ring.
Well, I said I would think about it, in fact, and I did think about it. I spoke to some of the principal researchers and got a sense that they were taking this very seriously. Still hadn't seen the slides, still hadn't really heard other than just vaguely some of the forensic analysis and other analysis done on the slides. When I came here to Mexico City, I learned it all, and I saw the slides, and I also, what really has impressed me, to be honest with you, George, is the analyses that have been done on these slides, and I know all of this is going to be coming out in the very near future. I'm sure of it. I'm sure the transcript of this event will
be. Well, and you know Linda Moulton Howe will pull out her microscope on these.
Well, yes. In fact, here, look, the thing is that every engaged researcher should be, whether they're pro or con about these slides. What they require is, you know, the largest number of qualified individuals to look at them and to have something to say about them in an analysis.
Do they even have ektachrome film anymore, Richard? I mean, I used to take a lot of slides when I was younger. I haven't done it in years. I mean, I don't even know if they have them anymore.
Good question. I haven't seen it in a long, long time myself. One interesting thing about these slides is that one of the analyses done on them was by a man who is I'm kind of going on memory, so forgive me, but a director of some kind of photographic institute in Chicago for 10 years and had worked at Eastman Kodak in Rochester, New York, where I live back in the 1950s. This man is a true expert in the nature of Kodachrome slides. It's very obvious when you listen to him speak on video. And he was quite adamant that these slides are from the late 1940s. He said, you know, you try to duplicate this, try to fake this, you would almost certainly fail. And he talked about a number of specific qualities of the slides. So the dating of the slides themselves, I don't really think it's going to be possible to argue that they're not from the late 1940s. And now you're looking at the image itself, and what is that image? There was a lot of talk beforehand that this was a mummy of some sort. And what I can tell you is I'm not qualified to say one way or the other, but there's, I think, three or four individuals who went on the stage tonight who I think are qualified and who said explicitly, and for many reasons, why this was not a mummy, why this was not a human being, why this was not a mammal, and so that this is a true anomaly.
Did Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14 astronaut, make it? He was supposed to be there.
He was in on a video recording. Hyman Lausanne met with Dr. Mitchell just a few days ago in Florida. Edgar Mitchell is 84 years old, and he made a statement that he was quite impressed by these images, in fact, but apologized because he just said his health doesn't permit him to do the kind of travel.
He got to the moon, but he's getting up there in age now. He really can't travel too much.
It's difficult for him. And we also had a live Skype feed from Paul Hellyer, former Minister of Defense of Canada. And he chatted. He spoke, I would say, very eloquently for about 10 minutes or so. I have to say, this was a fascinating event. This is the National Auditorium in Mexico, which was it's one of the premier event locations, I think, in the world. And to see, we estimate about 7,000 people in attendance.
That's a lot for this.
And I think the audience really received it very well.
You know, years ago, Fox had the alien autopsy film, and I know the producer of that, Robert Keviat, and Robert admitted to me, he says, look, this was faked. I mean, this whole episode was a recreation or it was faked. But he did say this. He said, we may have been doing it to recreate what actually was happening. But he said the film that everybody saw wasn't the real film. And
right. I think that's very extremely universal consensus, nearly so among researchers.
If you had to bet these slides that you looked at tonight, if you had to bet, would you bet that they were authentic or that they were some slides of a dummy, a hoax, something?
I, I can't say that I would bet that it's a hoax. I can't do that.
You would not.
I have to go on my gut. You know, look, all of this is still provisional for me. This is still new, and I think we really need to take our time before a final conclusion.
Sure. Richard, hold on for a sec. We're going to take this break here back in the good old United States, and we'll come right back to you when we come right back. Okay, lots going on for you tonight. Richard Dolan, of course, he's live in Mexico. Just attended a 7,000-person in attendance in Mexico City, witnessing these slides of what could have been these actual aliens from the Roswell case back in 1947. Now, next hour, Don Schmidt, noted UFO expert, will be with us. He's also in Mexico City, so we will attempt to connect with him as well. And when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM, we'll take your calls and continue chatting with Richard Dolan. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Richard Dolan. He is in Mexico City. Hey, Richard, describe the terrain out there and the attitude toward Americans.
Oh, golly. Well, George, we're in a very high altitude area here in Mexico City. It's, I think it's part of the thing that adds to the beauty of this,
yeah,
this area. Simply love it here. I think the people that I have met, I've met actually quite a few Mexicans, as you know, connected to this event. Everyone's been just spectacular. Attitude toward Americans, they seem to like Americans just fine.
Good. So everything's going well.
Problems.
Okay, super. Now, those in attendance, Don Schmidt, whom we're going to try to connect with next hour,
mm-hmm,
generally, what did these folks say about what they were looking at?
You mean the other presenters?
Yeah.
The other people who had something to say. Well, right. So Don Schmidt and Tom Carey, his co-author, they've worked on a couple of projects together, were both there. They gave, I think, a very detailed description of the Roswell case itself. It is their opinion that this these slides do relate specifically to the Roswell event. They may be right. I, for my part, I've been a little more hesitant to necessarily connect it to Roswell, but they did bring out a great deal of evidence, including video testimony from, in fact, one of the last surviving individuals who was at Roswell and seemed to have seen bodies. That's Elizar Benavides, who actually a number of years ago I was able to interview as an addition. But they had some testimony from him, which I think was very helpful. So they made a very good case for the Roswell, for Roswell being the real deal, and I think, you know, connecting it to these slides. Now I think one of the most important people at this was Adam Dew, and I will have to say over the last several days I've gotten to know Adam quite well, and I've developed a great respect for him and for his mind. He's a very intelligent guy, very sophisticated, and it's Adam who got possession of these slides by meeting with the woman who got them in a kind of a trash recycling business that she had. She got the slides, and he got them from her. I think that's how it worked out. But he has done a lot of legwork on understanding the owners of the original owners of the slides, Bernard and Hilda Ray, and I think very, very good work. And what he does is he lays a, let's say, a circumstantial case, but a decent one, that explains just how it might have been possible for the Rays to have been in the position where they might have been able to take those pictures of what looks like a non-human alien body. Basically connecting them, Hilda Ray, who's a very impressive lady, seems to have been a very close friend of Mamie Eisenhower, who was, mm-hmm, Dwight Eisenhower, and who in 1947, Dwight Eisenhower was still chief of staff of the United States Army. So with that connection right there, and the Ray couple seem to have gone frequently to Kansas, where Dwight's brother Milton Eisenhower was president of Kansas State University. There's a lot of these connections to the Eisenhower family. So the speculation is that in the fall of 1947, which is when their best guess is when these slides were taken, they had a connection with the Eisenhower, with Dwight Eisenhower, that they would have been able to do this. Now, one might ask, well, why? Well, one possible answer is that Bernard Ray was a petroleum geologist and actually was at the top of his game in 1947. His area was West Texas and eastern New Mexico, which included the Roswell area. we might speculate, and maybe that's all that we can do, that it might have just been possible that Dwight Eisenhower, as a friend of Bernard Ray, might have said, hey, I'd like you to take a look at this.
Yeah. You know, give us your opinion. Give me your thoughts, that
yeah.
kind of thing.
I mean, security in the 1940s was very tight, but I think by all estimates, it was a little bit different than how it is today. And it is entirely possible, at least a number of people speculate, that the Rays would have had access. Now, one interesting thing about those slides, if you really look at them carefully, they're certainly legitimate photographs, but there's a very, very minor motion blur that is detectable, I think, really on both of them. So that's significant enough to prevent a detailed analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Really get a lot out of it, but it's there. So what I wonder is that the photograph was taken maybe rather quickly, and maybe even surreptitiously. We'll never know.
Take it and get out, that kind of thing?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And that is really what it looked like to me. One of them was taken with a flash, and one was taken without a flash.
Lots of folks lining up to give you a quick chat question here, Mr. Dolan, so let's grab them. Let's go to Roger in Tennessee, east of the Rockies. Roger, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, George.
Hi, Roger. Richard.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I just awoke. I'm the traveler. Your knowing was supposed to tell you I was going to call you.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Not quite, but I will.
But I'm the reincarnation of Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Oh, nobody was nope. I don't know what you're talking about there.
Well, the Ipswich that was in the Billy Meyer case that was sent back to Earth,
right?
To be reincarnated, and you were told by your spirit that I would be calling you one day.
All right, my spirit hasn't told me that yet.
Or you've never heard of the prophecy. The traveler.
I have not heard of the prophecy or the traveler, but let's stick to some hard questions with Mr. Dolan right now. Even though I'm sure you would have liked to have talked to the reincarnated Dwight Eisenhower, Richard, probably
yeah,
had some questions
cool.
for him. Let's go to Derek in St. Louis. Derek, welcome to the show.
Well, I never thought I'd be following Dwight Eisenhower, but that's kind of neat here.
That's right.
I was just curious. There's been people that said that they had claimed seeing those, and I know you guys just touched base on that. But has anybody ever went into what they were contained in, and had they gave a description of what the boxes looked like before these slides were unveiled?
Are you saying what the facility looked like, where the body was being stored? I'm misunderstanding.
Well, no. People that said that they had worked at Roswell, there was people that had claimed they'd seen the bodies in storage, and I'm just curious if that was what these photos show.
Yes, yes,
what
yes.
They were contained in.
Right, they do. The last, as I said a little moment ago, the last surviving witness of Roswell, at least that we know, who claimed to have seen bodies, is a man named Eleazar Benavidez, and he was interviewed and actually was shown those two slides, and his assessment was that they looked remarkably like what he remembered.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, really what the body looks like essentially is kind of a gray alien.
Who is alive now, Richard, from the Roswell episode? Is it just Dennis, the funeral director?
Well, and he just passed away.
Oh, did he just die too?
Just like a week ago.
Oh, my God.
Glenn Dennis.
I did not know that.
George, yeah. That's right, he did. And he was getting quite up there.
He was the last,
no, really.
Wasn't he? Almost.
And he was one of the founders of the Roswell Museum.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very nice. I met him once, briefly when I was at Roswell.
Jeez.
But, no, all the old guard is just going away. Eleazar Benavidez, though, is still alive. He's quite advanced in years. He wasn't known for a long, long time. Don Schmidt and Tom Carey, I think, found him, if I'm not mistaken, about a decade ago. And I just had the opportunity. I was involved in a short-lived television program back in 2006, and I was able to interview him myself for that. And he's a very impressive man, very, very careful, very well-spoken, and never seemed really overstep, you know, what he claimed to have seen. But he did say that he saw a body, bodies actually, in a hangar, the big hangar at Roswell. He wasn't really allowed to look. He said the smell was horrible. He did say that he saw a body in the Roswell Hospital as well. He got a decent enough look at it to remember it. So that's his story.
Was it worth your trip to go to Mexico City for this?
Oh, yes, for sure. Absolutely. Look, you know, here's the thing. You have all of the, a lot of critics in the last year have been saying that this is a big hoax, it's a big circus, it's big whatever. I've never been persuaded by what they've had to say, but the real thing is, if we're going to be considered investigators, all right, when some interesting new data comes our way, and if we fail to investigate because we're afraid of what some other people might say, then we don't really have a right to be called investigators. That doesn't mean that we have to go in and automatically validate every new piece of evidence that comes our way. That's not what I'm about, and I don't think that's what any of the people in this event were about, frankly. But what we need to be, I think, is courageous enough to look at new evidence and to be, you know, still critically minded enough to know that there are still going to be questions. I mean, one of the problems we're going to have is that these are slides. It's not an actual body. So we don't have a body to study. That's a problem. And that's not going to go away. Now, there's some information out of a slide that you can get. You can determine the authenticity of the slide. We can do things with it. My feeling all along, and it's only been strengthened after tonight, is that these slides, I don't believe they're going to be debunked easily. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think whoever does the debunking is going to have to do a lot of serious legwork, and I'm just not sure that it's really going to be possible. But I'm also not convinced that it's going to be the kind of home run that some disclosure advocates have been talking about. I mean, I've been seeing that, you know, on the social network blogs and so forth. I don't really think that's going to happen. I mean, we're in a situation where I think these slides are not going to go away. I think they will become part of the conversation. They will become part of the debate about UFO reality, and I think they're going to get a lot of supporters. That's my opinion, at least at this point. But whether it's going to be enough to be a game changer, I think only time will tell.
I know Moussant tried to recoup some of his costs. He was charging $20 for people to watch and view tonight. How did he do?
He had a lot
of
money for this.
Yeah, he did.
He had a lot of. This is the National Auditorium of Mexico. I don't think a lot of people realize this is a huge event. The cost to rent this place was absolutely astronomical.
I believe. Did the 7,000 in attendance have to pay to get in?
Yeah. I don't know what the attendance fee was.
But they did have to pay something. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. You'll have to ask Jaime about the details, but I assume the answer is yes.
Well, there was obviously some interest there.
Yeah, absolutely there's interest. And, I mean, you know, one of the complaints that I've heard over the last few weeks is some people say, well, the whole thing should be done for free. And I just ask myself, what kind of world do these people live in? These 10-year-old children that I'm listening to. I mean, if you're going to get seasoned professionals to spend their time analyzing this material
and their money,
admissions. That's right. The doing tests on this is expensive. We live in a world where, you know, money determines a lot of this, and that's just how it is. And I think Jaime had the idea that he wanted to make this into a big event. I certainly don't fault him for that. And I think that, in fact, it was done very well. I was proud to be up there.
Let's go to Carlos in Carson, California. Welcome to the program, Carlos. You're on with Richard Dolan. Go ahead.
Yes, Richard, doesn't the Illuminati profit from the alien agenda? I mean, people would readily unite under a world government if there was a perceived threat from aliens. And also, listening to another program tonight, radio program, a caller called in, and he said he spotted something in the background, an item in the background of these lights. He says that item didn't come around till the 1960s. And the host agreed with him. I forget exactly what the item was.
I'm not really sure I'm following you. I hate to ask you to repeat it or to clarify, but I'm not really sure what you're asking me.
Was there some kind of device in these slides, Richard, that would have been much later than 1947? I guess that's what he's saying.
Oh, I see. So are there any potential anomalies or...
you know, like a newspaper that said, you know, Yankees beat Tigers or something like
yeah,
that.
Right. Yeah, right. I don't think so. I don't believe so. In fact, it actually did look like the late 1940s. One of the images has in the background behind the glass case a woman in a blue dress. The dress is absolutely like late 1940s style. That's not hard to know. I didn't really see any anachronisms, I guess, if that's what the gentleman's asking.
The slides, at least the one that I saw, looked more authentic than the Fox alien autopsy film did years ago.
Oh, I certainly agree with you. Certainly agree with you on that. Again, you asked me earlier about my gut reaction to this, and all I can say is, I mean, I've only spent a few days with this, okay, so I want to just qualify that statement, but my gut is that this does not look like a fake to me. It does not look like a hoax. From everything that I've been able to learn about how these slides were obtained, essentially talking with Adam Dew about that, it seems to me that these are legitimate, and the way that they were kind of hidden in this box by Hilda Ray, presumably by Hilda Ray, indicates that she probably thought they were important and couldn't really bring herself to get rid of them, but also couldn't bring herself to publicize them.
And knowing Jaime Masson, and you know him better than I, he's not the kind of person to fake these things. I mean, if these were faked, it's not done by him.
No, absolutely not. Not a ghost of a chance. Jaime is, I've spent quite a bit of time with Jaime over the past few days in particular. He's a genuinely engaged man who really believes in promoting the truth on this subject. And, you know, like anyone who's been involved in this field for many years, including myself, there's always going to be things that one can criticize about what I have done and what anyone else has done. But his integrity, I think, is very strong.
Let's go to Chip in Raleigh, North Carolina. Happens to be a first-time caller. Chip, you're on with Mr. Dolan. Go ahead.
Yes. How you doing, Richard? I'm glad that you made a point to mention that the detractors are 10-year-olds and that Jaime is someone that's very credible and wouldn't hoax anything, because me and everyone else with functioning brains put him in the same category with the Cousins brothers and their third phase of the moon endeavor. My question to you would be, where was the second slide tonight? And how much did you get paid to be associated with this? And how can someone count dozens of bones in the hands and yet not be able to read the label next to the body?
I'll try to deal with all of these as is appropriate.
And we've got about a minute and a half left.
God Almighty. I think Jaime has integrity. I certainly don't think that he's been participating in anything like a hoax. The placard itself, if that's what you're talking about, no one has been able to decipher it. The reason Coast to Coast has one slide is because that's all that I was able to send from my tiny little phone at the last minute. And
eventually we'll get them all up, if not tonight.
Absolutely.
We'll get
both of the slides will be available, and certainly we're not holding anything back. And anyone could have gotten a screen grab of it while they were watching it on video if they wanted to do a live stream. Some of these other questions, I don't even know where to begin with it, but...
You don't have to disclose how much they pay you to go there. It's nobody's business.
No, well, for any conference that anyone goes to, no one makes a fortune out of these things.
No,
for sure.
That's for sure.
They'll pay you a small honorarium, and you're on your way.
And they cover expenses to get there.
They fly you in, they put you in a hotel. I'm in a nice hotel, I will say, and you get paid an honorarium, and you're gone. That's been my life in the UFO research.
All right, Richard. Well, I'm gonna put you on hold for just a bit until we connect with Don Schmidt. Don Schmidt, of course, is the former director of the J. Allen Hynek Center for UFO Studies. He too was in this conference in Mexico. We're gonna get his take on these slides when we come back in just a moment. Keep our fingers crossed that we can connect with him.